So we left off right smack in the middle of Brisa. So we'll just go back to the beginning of Brisa for a moment, get ourselves bearings back in. Very right at the bottom of the Testament Aleph. So the four lines from the bottom, Tanur Abadam, we learned in Brisa. Bottom of Testament Aleph. Tanur Abadam, Mishloshi, Birochim, Shabbat, Gitte, Nash, and Shkuri Abadam. There are three areas where Shtari Shichur, a document that's used to free an Eved Kenani, is similar to a get. Shovel Malchum, the first area is why we're talking about this in the first place, that vis-a-vis the dinim of Tzarech is having to say b'fayin echtam. So just as a person who brings a get from Chutz La'aretz has to say b'fayin echtam, so too a get that's a Gishtar Shichur, a document free in Eved, is subject to those same rules. Comparison number two, b'chol get sheyesh lav ekusi posel chutz v'gidah shichur avad. Any get, in the other word, getia means a shtar, two terms used to change, but any document that has a kusi signed on it is going to be posel, with the exception of Gite Nashra Shukravan, which is now the start when usually the standards for a get isha much higher. So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit later on why in the world that is true. The Chol Ashtaros, third similarity is Chol Ashtaros, the older of the Akkosh of the Kichavim, any document that comes from non Jewish courts, Abba Bishchosman of the Kichavim, even though there, it was processed, it was prepared by non Jewish courts, signed by non Jewish witnesses, Chayrin. So technically speaking, those documents will be acceptable in Dinei Torah. Hopefully we're going to talk a lot about that a little bit later on, the Yud, why that is in fact the case. But if you have a non-Jewish court supervisor, the get isha, that's out of the question. Or if a non-Jewish court supervisor, the shtar shichur, that's also out of the question. Again, each one of these halachas are actually a mishnah as the parak continues. But we're just going to finish up the braisa per se, and then hopefully as we get to each case in the mishnah down the line, we'll explain why these didn't mature. But now it's the fourth case that gets a little bit more complicated. Uchidibi Rabbi Meir Ba'arba. And if you're looking for numbers of comparisons between Shtar Shichur and Gittin, so there happens to be a fourth one, but the fourth one is subject to a machlokes. Only according to the view of Rabbi Meir is that fourth one correct. What is that phantom fourth case? Ha'omet Tein Gedzel Ishti, Ushtar Shichur Zeli Avdi. Reuven goes over to Shimon, and with the following statement, it says, I'm going to hand you over this get on behalf of my wife. I'm going to hand you over the shtar shichur on behalf of my eved. Now, the issue here is that Shimon was not appointed as a shaliach by the wife. He was not appointed by a shaliach by the eved. So the question becomes, can somebody act on Plonis's behalf without their explicit authorization? What is the rule? So the basic rule really is this following split. You know, there's a clause called Zochin Ma'adam Shlo B'Fanav. We can do things that are advantageous for somebody, even not in their presence. Let's say, for example, if I want to give Reuben a gift, and Reuben's out of town, I can give the gift to Shimon. Shimon picks it up and acquires it on behalf of Reuben because receiving a gift is objectively something good. If the Makabal Samatan, the person who supposedly is to receive the matana, comes back from out of town, he says, I don't want any gifts. I don't want to be, I don't want to be mishuma to you. I don't want to be connected to you. So then he has a right to declare to him personally it's not beneficial. But if we don't know to the contrary, we could assume zoch dem shom fonam. However, in chovim adam el mafonam, I cannot do something that's detrimental for you. I cannot do something that is to your disadvantage without your explicit permission. So now the question becomes, is giving somebody a get, is that to our advantage or is that to our disadvantage? Is giving somebody a shtar shichur to their advantage or to their disadvantage? So objectively, giving somebody a get is considered to be to their disadvantage. Now, it's true there may be certain scenarios and certain very, very strange situations where it may actually be advantageous for her. It's true. And if the 90 body get, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that down the line. But the starting point is, the woman getting divorced is not necessarily a good thing for her. So therefore, if Reuven gives a get to Shimon and says, Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Rachel, so Reuven can back out. Reuven can change his mind as long as Rachel hasn't received the get yet. Because basically the get has not taken effect. Since Ein Chav and the Yom Shalom in front of, the get is not valid. And therefore, Ratzalach, so he can back out. What about by Shtar Shichur? Shtar Shichur is a little bit trickier because it is probably advantageous for the Eved to be freed. On the other hand, not totally, there are certain advantages. Believe it or not, it's something that in our society, in our world, we obviously can't touch us to fathom. But in a certain culture, in certain societies, it may not have always been so disadvantaged for the person to be an Eved. What were his other options? His other options were, he had nobody to support him. He had no home to live in. He was walking the streets. So, and again, I'm not turning the clock back to before 1860. We're not canceling emancipation. That's not what I'm advocating. We're simply saying that, just to make a statement that under all circumstances, being an Ebuchadnezzar is so terrible, that's not necessarily a true statement. And therefore, Rabbi Meir discusses the following. When Reuven hands over to Shimon Shtash Shichron half of the Eved, is that a schus or is it not a schus? So Rabbi Meir said that Imratzo Lachzor B'Shneim Yachzor. Rabbi Meir said that the person who gave the get, Isha, the person who gave the Shtash Shichron, can back out from both cases because the chalos, the kibin wasn't complete yet. The shichur wasn't complete. The get isha wasn't complete because the person who received it was not authorized to do so. And ein chavim yalem shlom b'fanav divi Rabbi Meir. Now the rabbanim disagree with that. The rabbanim paskim that you can no longer back out from a shtash shichur because a shtash shichur is advantageous. It is to the eved's benefit, and therefore it took effect. And once you're free the eved, you can't change your mind. So this was the phantom fourth case, a little bit of a complicated case, but this was the fourth case in the worldview of Rabbi Meir that Shashikr and Shashikr and Gerisha are really the same. So Bishlam the Rabban, now the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. The Braisa goes out of its way to say there are three cases. There are four cases. So whatever the Tanoim count for us, we know how to count ourselves. So why did the Tanoim say there are three cases? To tell me three and no more. So Bishlam of the Rabbanon, according to the view of the Rabbanon, Minyan Lamuta had Rabbi Meir. The reason why the Braisa went out of its way to say three cases and no more, that's coming to exclude Rabbi Meir. Tell Rabbi Meir, Minyan Lamuta Mai, what is the supposed fifth case that Rabbi Meir is coming to exclude? The Gemara searches and searches and finds another possible difference between Kite Nashma Shechuri Avada. Lamuta Mai. Lamuta Hadassanya, to exclude the following. We learned in the Braisa. Eidim shein yodim lachtom. But if you have a situation where witnesses are coming and they're about to sign one small technicality, they don't know how to sign their own names. How in the world are they going to sign a document if they don't know how to sign? So mekarim lahem niacholak. So what we do is we almost like prepare the signatures for them. We etch out a little bit, you know, like we cut a little bit into the bottom of the paper. And they fill it in with ink, so it's not exactly the most perfect signature, but it'll pass. So a big kula, and we let Adam sign in a very, very strange way. Amram Shimon Gamliel. B'medvar Mamurim, when do we permit such very low-level signatures? B'kite Noshim, that's by a get. Why? Because we're always afraid in the back of our minds we should be gunai kilibar avonim. We don't want to dray when it comes to a get. Imagine, the husband's here, he's ready to authorize the get. Who knows what mood he'll be in 20 minutes from now? And we're all ready to go, and then the Adim can't sign their names. Wait for another hour. Let us go find other Adim. You know what's going to happen in the next hour? We'll get into another fight with his wife. We'll decide it's not worth it. He'll up the ante, and it'll disappear, and he won't give a get. So whenever we're ready to give a get, we don't want to waste time. So therefore, Chazal gave a leniency that even this very, very shvacha kind of a chasiba, this signing that normally wouldn't be acceptable, we're going to let it go when it comes to a get. When it comes to a shash shichur, what's the rush? Get two normal guys. Go to first grade. Find two people. My guys know how to assign the names and finish. Ushtar kalashtaras and other documents for sure. If they know how to read, they know how to sign, then they sign. You're my big husband. So we will not accept aid if we don't know how to sign the names. I'm not going to play games and draw little, you know, make little holes in the parchment and have them just, you know, play with their ink and throw it in. We're not going to accept such very, very weak signatures except for Gittin. So this was the example where Gittin and Shashikras part ways. So since the Gemara quoted this Braisa, the Gemara just analyzes the details of the Braisa. If you notice, again, in the Braisa added a factor. First, it spoke about aid who don't know how to sign. And then it said, and by the way, they have to know how to read. So ask them about Kriya Mandoch Hashmei. Who mentioned anything about readings? The one says, no, there's a word missing in the Braisa. Chesura Mechzura Vachitani. There's a little bit of an emendation in the Braisa. Eidim Shein Yadim Likros. If the Eidim don't know how to read, Karim Lefneim, then we read it in front of them. The Chosman, and then they sign. Shein Yadim Achtam, and if they don't know how to sign, then we count them. Then we make little holes and indentations in the document, and we let them fill it up with ink. So the bottom line is, we really should try to get a little bit of a better set of Eidim, at least though the ABC is literally reading and writing, but if not, we'll figure out how to make do with it. So now the Gemara goes back to the basic theme of the Mishnah de Braisa that we highlighted, that there are three similarities between Gittin and Shtashichur, implying that at Kavlo Yosef, three yes, according to our mayor, maybe four, but for sure not five. There are no other similarities. Yes, the Gemara, Besuleika, is that true? There are no more. Faika, there are a lot more. Now the Gemara is going to go case by case to show you other similarities and try to understand stylistically why the Mishnah and the Braisa chose to ignore those similarities. Faika, the following. Omer, to get zele ishti, ushtashichur zele avdi umeis. If a person appoints somebody to be a shliach to go give a get to his wife, or he appoints somebody to go bring a shtashichur to his eved, and then the husband or the master dies before the get was actually given, before the shtashichur was actually delivered. Lo yitnu liacham isa. So the shliach has no authority to give it after the owner or after the husband is dead. The basic rule is, ein get liacham isa. Ein shtashichur liacham isa. But what about tenu mana l'ploni umeis? What if Reuven says to Shimon, give such and such amount of money to somebody, and then the Reuven, the giver, dies, yidnu liacham isa, then he can go ahead and give it even though the original owner is no longer alive. What's the difference? Why is it that a get can't be given after death, whereas money can be given after death? So basically, the whole sugya later on the first paragraph, or at least one of the approaches is that we have a special leniency when it comes to gifts of money called divrei shchibira kichsuvim chemesurim. We mentioned this, I think, in the past, that normally, in order to transfer ownership on property, you have to do a ma'isa kinyan. But Chazal gave an exception to that rule. They instituted it, the rabbanon, the following. If a person is very sick, literally on the deathbed, and they're getting very agitated. They say, I want to give X amount of money to this person. I want to give a gift to the other person. So the people there, they wait. Let's get a kinyan going. Let's get aiding going. Let's get all the documents there. The guy's going to get very, very upset. He's going to start to get agitated. Causes medical condition to deteriorate. So therefore, Chazal made a takana that if he's already dying, whatever he said counts. With the Ravana, we're going to change the rules. Whatever he said is binding and bound, etc. But they built in a little bit of a clause. The clause being that if and when he recovers and he says, hey, wait a second, maybe I shouldn't give him my $100,000, gift away to Pliny. He has the right to back out because it never really was a real bona fide kinyan. So in this case that the Mishnah is referring to, when it comes to a get isher to a shashichur, if it wasn't affected before death, if it wasn't literally ended up before death, it can no longer be done afterwards and get liach abisa. But the case of dinim amnes, we can invoke the rule of divish chavira, and therefore it can be done even after the person died because he gave the authority and calls by that he was alive. So
I understand get because he's dead, so you can't give a get afterwards. She's a mother, she's not a grusha. She's a grusha, not a mother.
She's a mother, not a grusha.
But with an eved, like, he can tell his inheritors, okay, do it. Or so it really does count. It does happen.
No, 100%. If the heirs do it, they have the right, they have the cause to do it. But he didn't. He's not the owner anymore.
Why do you consider it a gift that's given to that?
No, but there's a halach. It has to be a shtashichur. So shtashichur for an eved is not just dinim amnes. It's like a get isha. So it has to be authorized properly, delivered properly, as all the halachas of a get. And therefore, once the person dies, so the game is over. The reason Machlekes have shown him in Lomdus, why exactly is the game over? So some say, like Henry said, the game is over because he's not your eved anymore. Or the game is over because she's not your wife anymore. So that's why you can't do it. Others say the reason why the game is over is because the shlichus is betela. That when Reuven appoints someone to be a shliach, shlichusom kemoso is hinging upon the fact that Reuven is still alive. The minute that Reuven's dead, so the whole shlichus is betela. That's a very, very long distance question. Maybe we'll talk about that in some of the Ian Shiurim. But for our purposes, the bottom line is that ein get liachemisa, ein shtashich liachemisa. So that's the case. So then we found another similarity between kitten and shtashichur. And the whole goal of the mission of the Rice was to say, these three, or maybe four, according to Rameir, at Kanavol Yosef. What do you mean? We have another one. This din of lo yitnu liacham isa. So the question is, no. Ki tani milsa delesi bishtaris. when did Chazal list off the things that gittin and shashichos are identical? Those are things that are totally irrelevant to regular documents. Let's say, for example, funny nechta, funny nechtam has nothing to do with regular documents. There's no case in halacha that you have to say funny nechta for a shtar mechira, for some kind of a sale document. The funny nechtam is limited to gittin and to shtar shichros. Whereas this halacha of lo yidnu liachamisa sometimes applies to other documents as well. So mils adisa b'shtaris loktani. When does the din of lo yidnu liachamisa apply to regular documents? The shalach rab b'shmed Rabbi Yabo. Rabin sent the message to the name of Rabbi Yabo. Have a yodin, you should know. She shalach Rabbi Elazar l'goyla b'shum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Elazar sent the message to Chutz Lo'aretz. Rabbi Elazar lived in Eretz Yisrael. And this psak was sent out to Chutz Lo'aretz. In the name of Rabbeinu, presumably referring to Rabbi Danasi, Shchibira Shama. If you have a Shchibira, Rebbe said before that a Shchibira can just say, give my car to Reuven. The car becomes Reuven. Give my house to Shimon. The house becomes Shimon. No kinyan, nothing. Everything, all the rules were changed by the Rabbanan. But one of the Shchibira says as follows. Shchibira Shama, Kisvu Utznu Manu Laploni. The Shchibira didn't have to say right documents. The Shchibira should have just said, give myself the plony. But he went ahead and said more than he had. It was a general rule of life. The more you say, the more trouble you get into. So the Shchibira said, write the following down and give such and such to plony, umeis. And then the Shchibira dies before the documents were authorized, before the documents were delivered. So now that all the rules of Shchibira just changed, ein kaisrim v'noisim. We have no right to write the shtar at that point. We have no right to deliver the shtar at that point. You have no right to hand over the transfer the property at that point. Why? Shema lo gavala kedoisi ala bishtar. Because by the Shchimira invoking the image of a document and saying write documents, maybe he had in mind, he doesn't want to use the tool of Shchimira. He doesn't want to go down the route of Shchimira that you don't need documents. Maybe he wanted to go down the regular rules. Ve'en shtar liachamisa. And once he wanted, of his intent, we don't know what it is, we don't have Bracha Kedish, but we're guessing it's very plausible that for the fact that he mentioned shtar, is that he meant he wanted this to be serious with documents. And once the document was mentioned, Ein Shtar Liachamisa. So since this rule of Ein Get Liachamisa, Ein Shtar Shich Liachamisa, has a parallel in Dinam Ominous, that's why the Mishnah the Braisa didn't list it. The Mishnah the Braisa were highlighting the Dinam that are very, very unique, that only apply to Gittin and Shtar Shichers. Anytime there's some kind of application to other documents, it was left off the list. Not because it wasn't true, it simply was left off the list. So he asks the Gemara another question. Throw back to the beginning of the parent, that why isn't the parallel, the comparison between Gittin and Shashichros vis-a-vis the Dinam of Lishma mentioned? Lishma is required by a get. We derive all the Dinam of get to Shashichros. They were shuffled compared to the two. There is no requirement that a document of sale has to be written Lishma. That's ridiculous. So why doesn't the Mishnah Debraisa list off the Dinam of Lishma as being one of the similarities? So Bishlam al-Rabbah is the throwback now to the beginning of the parent. So according to Rabbah, who said that the whole purpose of the Fadei Nechtam, was to solve any Lishma concern, so then by telling me that you have to say the Fadei Nechtam by both, you're basically telling me that you did Lishma by both. That's the same thing. The reason for the Fadei Nechtam is because the concern of Lishma. So you are telling me that Lishma applies to both of them. Now, Rabbah Gash, according to Rabbah, the saying of Befarei Nechtav is nothing to do with Lishma. Befarei Nechtav was to avoid not being able to find witnesses to verify the signatures later point. So according to Rava, there's no mention in the Mishnah Debraisa of Lishma. And the bottom line is Lishma does apply to both. The Sue, another question, Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Rava, Ha'ika Mechubar. There are other psulim, there are other things that are similar between Gittin and Shtar Shichros that don't apply to other Shtaras. Say, for example, writing a get on something that's connected to the ground. The Mishnah says in the second parak, if you write a get on a tree and you chop down the branch, so that get is pasul min haTorah. We'll get to that at some point. And so a get a mechubar is no good. And therefore, by extension, the shtar shichur mechubar is no good. That doesn't apply to shtaras. So why wasn't that on the list? So the Gemara backpedals and says, I'll give you another reason why the Mishnah and the Braisa are listed only three and no more. Ki tani psula derabbanan. The Mishnah was trying to highlight three derabbanan dika halachas where they're the same. They're the same agave b'fanei nechtav. They're the same agave kusid. They're the same agave goyish courts. Those are all dinim derabbanan. Deraisa l'Tari. The din of deraisa, the ABCs of gittin, has to be the Shema, to be the Chubar, and it has the Rai from Sukkim. I don't need a Braisa to tell me. I need a Mishnah to tell me all of a sudden that the din of the Shema carry over. Everybody knows the din of deraisa for sure carry over. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is to tell me the din of derabbanan. So yes, to the Gemara, it's not true because one of the things that's on the list is a din deraisa. If you have a get that's signed, that's been administered by an Agoisha court, it's signed by Agoisha Edim, it's possible to absolve their ISO. It's possible in the Torah. Uktani, and it's mentioned. So your theory that absolve their ISO aren't on the list, that's not true. Answer the Gemara, no, just because it's signed by Agoisha Edim doesn't mean it's possible in the Torah. Why is that? The Edim is Siruch Rabbi Elazar. The Yom Edim is Siruch Rabbi Elazar. Throw back to the beginning of the parak. Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar, we have the Paschal like holds that it doesn't really matter Minotaur who signs the get. It actually doesn't even matter Minotaur whether anybody signs the get. According to Rabbi Elazar, the only thing that matters are the Edim Mesira, the Edim who are there at the time that the get is delivered. The whole signing of the get is not necessary, and therefore Midaraisa doesn't matter if it's signed by Goyishim. But the Rabbanon, if you chose to sign Goyishim witnesses, that's a problem. But Minotaur, that's not a problem. So that Mishnah, the Braisa, must be following Rabbi Elazar. That's why the Braisa, Mishnah, the Braisa were comfortable listing the non-Jewish supervised signed witnesses on a get as being absolved the Rabbanan. Why do you give it by Nechta? Well, the problem is, even according to Rabbi Elazar, we would like to have witnesses because having witnesses on a get is a very, very good thing. Because in years to come, when the woman tries to prove that she's divorced, that's going to be the avenue for her to prove it. So if we have no way of being mekayim that those witnesses, that's going to cause problem for us. And especially if the husband comes later and says, hey, wait a second, this whole thing is a forgery, so we have to disprove the husband. So it's a really good idea. That's what the bishop says later on in the fourth paragraph. Even according to Abelazar, we want them to be witnesses to sign again. It's foolish not to have witnesses to sign again, but it's not ma'akir. The get will still be kashi without it. So comes the Gemara and says, Nahal, with the Tani Seifa, is it really true that this Mishnah, this Braisa, is really Rabbi Elazar speaking? The end of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Il Cheirin. Rabbi Shimon says a little bit later on that a get that's signed by Goyim is actually kosher. How could that be kosher? From Rabbi Zeira explained, the only way to explain that a get signed by Goyim is literally kosher, Yorin Rabbi Shimon L'Shadosos Rabbi Elazar, Tama Eid B'Sir Karsay, that it must be that Rabbi Shimon was subscribing to the view of Rabbi Elazar, that Edim is here, the Edim who were present at the time of the giving are the ones that really matter. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon was the one who was a Rabbi Elazar person, that implies that the Tanakama, the Rabbanu, were not Rabbi Elazar speaking. If the Tanakama was not Rabbi Elazar speaking, it must be Tanakama was Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir was the one who says, you need Edim Chasim Amin HaTorah. And if you need any chesed b'nei Torah, if you have goyish witnesses, it's possible b'nei Torah, which undermines our entire teretz. So our entire teretz, we're searching high and low, stylistically, for the mission of Raisa. Why these three and no more? So the only answer that Gemara could come up with was that, well, the Raisas are not on the list. What do you mean the Raisas are not on the list? Goyish witnesses are on the list? No, that's only the Rabbanan. That's not true. It's the Rabbanan according to Rabbi Elazar, but not the Rabbanan according to Rabbi Meir. And the mission is clearly Rabbi Meir. Answers the Gemara at the top of the Yom Manal, it's not true. That all Tanoim in this Mishnah are Rabbi Elazar speaking. According to the worldview of Rabbi Meir, Eide Chasima Karse, Eide Chasima required by the Raisa, Goyish witnesses, Apostle and Torah, Felishim Sofet. Nobody holds a Rabbi Meir in this Mishnah, in this Raisa. The whole Raisa is working with Rabbi Elazar's theory, Eide Masira Karse, and therefore you don't need witnesses altogether to sign. If you have Goyish witnesses who do sign, it's going to be a problem. But Rabbi Shimon says it depends. If the names are very, very Goyish, so then it's going to be better than not. Why is that? What's the problem with having Goyim sign on a get? If you don't need them anyway, so why by their signing do they cause problems? The inference is that if they sign the get, in 20 years from now, no one's going to remember that they were Goyim. So we're going to see a get that signed with two following names. It's going to say in the bottom, Michael and Joseph. So look at Michael. A lot of Jews named Michael and Joseph. A lot of Jews named Joseph. So they're going to see Michael and Joseph signed the get. They must have been affirmative. And we're going to use them to verify that this get is kosher. We're going to let a woman remarry based on Michael and Joseph. The fact that Michael and Joseph were not Jewish. So if you have Shema, She'enim, Malkim, they're not clearly non-Jewish name, that's going to be a problem. Rabbi Shimon was Mechadish, the clue of Rabbi Shimon was, if they're really, really clear Goyish name, that some good non-Jewish names for us, so no basis can be foolish to think that, I need a good one, you gotta give me some good ones for this one. Two. I do not want to go down that route. Okay?
What? The Christian.
Okay. The Christian, who else? Christian and Muhammad. Okay, that's fair enough. We'll get all religions represented here. So we have Christian and Muhammad signed the gap. So no basis is going to be any basis that's foolish enough in 28. Ooh, Christian. Muhammad, everyone's going to make such a foolish mistake. Should be out of the business of supervising. So the bottom line is that the Mishnah and the Braisa remain Rabbi Elazar, and therefore the psul of gracious signatures is not only a psul to Rabbanan, and that's exactly why it wasn't on the list. But the Gemara still takes us to task. Hachazar de Raisa Uktani. But if you remember that fourth case that we started the show this morning, the backing out from a get, back out from a shashichur, the Rebbe Meir added to the list. That idea that you can or can't back out from something, that's a deraisa concept. Because min haTorah, if the get wasn't chal yet, so if you decide to cancel the shlichus, you have the kach to do so. So that would be a psul deraisa, a chazar deraisa, katani, and it's still on the list. At least on Rebbe Meir's list. So Gemara revamps and says, you're right. We didn't quite explain to you properly what makes the list and what doesn't make the list. Alakik Tani Milsa Delaysa Bikidushin. The real answer is as follows. Dinim that are very gittin oriented. Gittin is one masechta, Kedushin is another masechta. So dinim that are very gittin oriented, they're on the list. Fainechtam, that's a getik alacha. The kusim, those are gittin dech alachas. Milsa the isa bikidushin look tani. All the halachas that carry over to Kedushin are not listed. For example, when you write a Shtar Kedushin has to be written Lishma. A Shtar Kedushin cannot be written on Mechubar, because all the halachas that govern a document of Kedushin are derived from Gittin. Now, we don't have too many Shtar Kedushin today. Nobody gets married today with Shtar Kedushin. You get married with Kesef. But the Mishnah says, in the old days, Isha Nigris B'Kesef Shtar B'Biyah. So in theory, a woman can be Mekudeshes with a document. Part of the reason why we don't use documents anymore, it's too complicated. A ring is easy. Go to story, buy a ring and shine. You get a document. It's got to be lishma. It's got to be all the dinim that apply to it. Get too complicated. So we don't use the shtar kedushin anymore. But in theory, you could. And therefore, the Mishnah, the Braisa, didn't want to get involved with things that could also apply to his kedushin. He only spoke about things that are leisa b'kedushin. So he asks the Gemara, b'chazar gufis b'kedushin. Oh, wait a second. Backing out from something is a kedushin to galach also. Let's say if Reuven says to Shimon, take this ring and bring it to this woman, the Bekadashar, and then before he gets the job done, Reuven says, oh, wait a second, I back out, and then the shliach does it anyway. It's not kedushin. Kedushin is not chal. Once the shalach, the supposed chosim to be, decides to backpedal, so he has the right to do so. That's a divin haTorah. Kolzman, the kedushin isn't chal. Kolzman, the chalos doesn't take effect. So the husband, the original person, has the right to retract. And that's a dimmi deraisa. So why is that on the list? It says the Gemara, the reason it's on the list is as follows. B'shlichus bi'al korcha, the begerish and isa b'kedushin leisa. That the halachas of shlichus, although yes, it's true, there is a concept of being the kadosh and isha deshliach, there's a concept of being the garish and isha deshliach, all of that is true. And some of the halachas are similar in terms of backing out, but there is a tremendous difference between shlichus Gittin and Shlichus of Kedushin. Shlichus of Gerushin can be done even against the will of the wife, because Me'ikra Dimin HaTorah, a get can be given against her will. Now, it doesn't mean you're supposed to. It's a very, very horrific thing to do. And Rabbeinu Gersha made it takana in the Middle Ages that if you do it, you're going to put it to Cherem for trying to divorce your wife against the will. But with the Raisi, you don't really require Das Isha for Gerushin. So you could conceive of a case where Reuben appoints a Shaliach, and the Shaliach is about to deliver the get, even though the woman doesn't want the get. But when it comes to Kedushin, that case can't exist. Because in order for a woman to get married, for sure requires das. That's not a question. So the Gemara that Beis of Kedushin says, Isha Niknes, the Gemara asks the question, why does it put it from the woman's vantage point to Isha Niknes? She just had an Ish Kona, he acquires her. The Gemara says to teach us that Ish Kona would have meant you could just grab her and take her against her will. Isha Niknes means she has to consent. So because there is a nuance of a difference between Gittin and Kedushin in their rules of Shlichus, therefore the Braisa kind of slipped it under the radar and was okay in almost like ignoring this case of Chazar Shlichus, because this kind of a case, the scenario of Shlichus, Chazar Shlichus can't apply to Kedushin. So when all the dust settles, the much of this daf was a stylistic question. Was just trying to figure out why the Mishnah, the Braisa, picked on certain cases and left out other things. And the basic answer boils down to what it says at the top of Daf Yud, is that whatever Shaykh Masechta Kedusha was left off the list. So in the process of trying to understand just the style of the Mishnah, the Braisa, we learned a whole array of different dinim. We spoke about the Farinechtavs again, and about the Mishchimeras again, and about back and Shlichas, but all the different details that come up, just to try to explain stylistically why the Tanoim was the Mishnah, the Braisa, in a certain manner. Okay. Stop here, good place to stop it, and another thing. Yeah.